Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family are not only going to just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi again, everyone, and this is Bob Louder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor to have you with us here again today. It really is. Now, what's going to be on our schedule for our 30-minute time? First, during our radio seminar, we are going to take a close look at the fifth piece of God's spiritual financial armor, which would be the helmet of salvation. Now, let me ask you, do you think there's a link between picking up and putting on God's helmet of salvation and rightly handling your personal finances? You bet there is. You're just going to have to wait and see. Then during our Q&A time together, we have a real special treat for you. Dave Ramsey is going to share with us some great thoughts on how to increase your income. I mean, would you like to see your income move up in 2024? Well, then you're not going to want to miss what Dave Ramsey has for you today. Then listen, if you're a husband or a wife, listen up, because you're going to learn all about a fantastic men's conference headed to Hiawassee this weekend that's going to prayerfully help all of the men in our community become much more godly and successful husbands and fathers. You're not going to want to miss that. And finally, John Maxwell is going to share with us his thoughts on being teachable, about being coachable. We're in for another great minute with Maxwell. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be another great time together with the Lord. Now, as we open, as we always open, would you please join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for meeting with us here again today. Will you please give us ears to hear all you have planned for us to hear, to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Recall that during our radio seminar segment times together that we've been digging deep into what the Apostle Paul has to teach us about God's spiritual armor, which can be directly applied to our personal financial situation. And we started out, what we saw was that according to the Bible, every financial problem you have or have ever had was actually a symptom. The problem was spiritual. The symptom might have been financial, but the problem was spiritual. And what we learned was that when we deal with a spiritual problem, well, our financial symptoms seem to fly away. And what is one of the best ways to deal with the spiritual problems that lead to financial issues in our life? Well, we need to learn how to pick up and put on God's spiritual armor, starting with His belt of truth, which is the Bible. You see, when you put on God's belt of truth, when you prayerfully determine to make the Bible a priority in your life, well, you are starting to get dressed for spiritual, for financial warfare. But listen, Paul tells us that there's a whole lot more to God's armor than just the Bible. I mean, the Bible is a great starting place, but there is a whole lot more. For example, there is also God's breastplate of righteousness. You see, God, well, He helps prepare you. He helps prepare you for battle with the absolute assurance that you are right with Him because of who you are in Jesus Christ, because you prayed to receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. You did that, therefore you are right with God. That is His breastplate of righteousness. Well, then we discovered that you had better not forget to, you know, put on your shoes of peace every morning, every day, right? I mean, and by the way, that is the peace of God. It is not the peace with God. You had peace with God when you prayed and you entered into His family. That's not what we're talking about here. This is the peace of God. This is the peace that surpasses all understanding. This is the peace that gives you great footing to both stand your ground and to advance and take back ground you've previously lost. And then, well then, during our last time together, we talked about the shield of faith. And we saw that just as the Roman soldier's battle shield was attached to his loin belt, Well, God's shield of faith needs to be firmly attached to his belt of truth, which again is the written word. It's the Bible. And we find out that we like the Roman soldier, we need to remember to soak our shield. We need to soak ourselves in his word. And we need to consistently ask the Holy Spirit to anoint his word to become better alive and active and well in and through our lives. So, what do we have so far? We have his belt of truth, we have his breastplate of righteousness, his shoes of peace, and his shield of faith. Now, two more quick points. First of all, remember that this is his armor. It is not ours. It belongs to him. And also remember that each piece of his armor is a highly effective offensive and defensive weapon. So what is the next piece of God's armor that Paul describes in the book of Ephesians? It is the helmet of salvation. It is God's helmet of salvation. And as we do, let's first of all take a look at it by continuing to dress our Roman soldier a little bit here. Let's first take a look at the helmet of salvation by taking a look at the helmet and what the helmet was from the Roman soldier's point of view. And as we do that, well, the first thing that we can see is that the Greek word for helmet, well, it describes a piece of armor that would fit tightly around the head. Now, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I mean, no surprise there. But we need to also realize that the Roman soldier's helmet, well, it was very, very noticeable. It was fascinating and beautiful. It was flamboyant, ornate. It was intricate. You see, so many times the appearance, well, it had the appearance of artwork rather than a piece of armor. It had a huge plume of brightly covered feathers or maybe even horsehair standing up from the top of the helmet. Okay? Now, this was how it looked. This is how it looked, but it was also designed to save his life as he stood in defensive posture or as he attacked. It was made of heavy bronze with special armor to protect his cheeks and his jaws. It was heavy, yet it was softly lined. It fit perfectly, and it could not be pierced. Now Paul links the soldier's protective helmet to our salvation. And I find this extremely, extremely interesting. Listen, how so? Well, listen, first of all, I think you would agree with me that your salvation, it's very noticeable. You see, your salvation, well, it has to be the most gorgeous. It's got to be the most intricate, the most elaborate, and the most ornate gift that God has ever given you. You see, it's very noticeable as you walk in confidence of your salvation and in the powerful reality of all that salvation means to you. Okay, so it's noticeable, but listen, God's helmet of salvation protects you from attacks on your mind. Listen, my friend, it is designed to save your spiritual life. How so? Well, to do the work of God and to face the work of the devil without your helmet of salvation, well, that'd be the equivalent of spiritual suicide, wouldn't it? Therefore, what do we need to do? Well, therefore, what we need to do is to have a personal goal, to walk in the full knowledge of your salvation. And how do you do that? Well, you spend time studying what the Bible has to say about things like your healing, your physical, mental, relational, of course, your financial healing. About your deliverance. Study about what the Bible says about your deliverance from evil powers. What the Bible has to say about redemption and its beneficial consequences in your life. My friend, you've got to know that your mind is extremely important. You see, God gave you a brain to use. In 1 Peter 1:13, we are told to gird up the loins of your mind. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means to gather up the loose ends of your mind and get your mind into good shape. How so? Well, you need to spend more time talking to yourself rather than listening to yourself. You need to tell yourself something like, I can remember. Listen, I can remember names, right? I have a fantastic memory. God, I thank you for my mind. Expect it. Act like it. You know, you need to learn how to pray something like, Lord, today I bind the devil from my mind. I declare it set free in Jesus' mighty name. Now remember, your mind needs to be exercised and it needs to be developed. That's why you really do need to get into a program of scripture memory and meditation. You really do. Now, what else do we need to know about God's helmet of salvation? Well, first of all, it is a defensive weapon. It sure is. It protects your mind from the devil's prolonged and continuous attacks designed to wear you out, right? We talked about all of that. But it's also an offensive weapon. How so? Well, you see, when a strong knowledge of your salvation is wrapped around your mind, you will never again fall prey to the devil's deceptive tactics. You will both be able to stand against the devil and to move and take back ground you've already given up. You can stand and advance in your confidence in the complete soundness of your mind. Your confidence in your divine protection, your healing, and your wholeness, to include your financial healing and wholeness, by the way. Okay? Well, listen, when you choose to pick up, put on, and walk in God's helmet of salvation, well, you're going to begin to think as God thinks. You're going to begin to reason as God reasons, believe as God believes, and act like God acts. Do not underestimate the importance of filling your mind with the proper understanding and knowledge of your salvation. Listen, my friends, salvation, it is a powerful, powerful piece of weaponry. If it is allowed to function correctly in your life, it will defend your mind from every mental attack the enemy might ever wage against you. And by the way, again, when you wrap the knowledge of your salvation around your brain and you let it begin to protect your mind, well, you're going to begin to become transformed. And you're no longer going to think and talk as an individual who is constantly sick. Listen, you're never going to walk through life like an individual who is constantly defeated. And you will no longer think and act as someone who is consistently poor. Now remember, all of this, the helmet of God's salvation, is part of God's gift to you. He full well intends for you and for me to reach out our hands, receive it, thank Him for it, and then trust His Holy Spirit to show us how to use it. Oh, wow. God's helmet of salvation. What a fantastic piece of God's spiritual armor. All right? Next time we're going to dig deeply for just a bit into His sword of the Spirit. And I promise you, it's going to be a great time. So do not miss it. As you probably already know, Dave Ramsey is an American evangelical Christian personal financial personality. He's a successful businessman, radio host, and an 8-time best-selling author. Listen, when Dave speaks, people pay attention. So let's join in and see what Dave has to say today about giving your income a boost in 2023.
Victoria's on the line. Hi, Victoria. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
So I wanted to find out, is it possible for me to try to find a way to maybe increase my income, doing something else, still staying where I'm at, but, you know, doing something in addition to what I'm doing currently.
Mm-hmm. What do you do? You said you're in the real estate industry. What do you do?
I work in the escrow and closing side of real estate. So
okay.
I'm the person you see it. Yeah. So it's, you know, there's no commissions or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I wasn't sure if I should just work on just saving and not put any of that money into investing, or if I can maybe possibly try to do both at the same time.
Well, I wouldn't do any investing in real estate while you're getting out of debt. You need to clean up your debt and get a fully funded emergency fund and that kind of thing before we even start talking about those other kinds of things. But I think overall what you're looking at is you're looking at your career as a you're on a salary, you're on a fixed income or basically a fixed income, and what can I do to dramatically increase that? The only options are one of two, generally speaking. One is some kind of entrepreneurial thing where you have an idea and you start a business. A good way to do that, start it on the side and then let it grow to enough that it explodes and becomes your full-time gig. And then the other possibility, of course, is something where you're on a more of a commission income, more of a sales situation, typically. And and obviously then in most of those situations, it's up to you to increase your income by making more sales. In your case, you don't get paid. You know, if you close one house a day or do the escrow on 10 houses a day, you get paid the same that day.
Correct.
Yeah, and so your production does not affect your income every on a daily basis or a monthly basis. Now, long term, if you don't produce, they're going to let you go, and if you do produce, they're going to keep you around and give you a raise. But overall, you're not, you know, you don't have the ability to double your income.
Right.
And so, you know, you may want to just kind of look at your career track and go, "What is this, an entrepreneurial itch that I have that needs to be scratched, or is it something else? And you know, or am I?" Do I want to own a title company someday, an escrow company? Do I want to move in that direction some way? Because you know that business. So, I don't know. But I think you've kind of got to study that and think your way through, you know, what does Victoria want to be doing with her life that causes her to smile, which would include making a lot of money 5 years from now and 10 years from now and 20 years from now. And you have to do that intentionally. Good question. Thanks for calling. You know, I heard Earl Nightingale, who was, if you don't know who he was one of the fathers of motivational speaking back in the 60s. And I heard him say one time, sometimes people spend more time picking out a suit of clothes than they do their job. How does a young man, young woman coming out of school make a decision on where they're going to work? Well, George, they're hiring over there at the factory. Why don't you come over and sign up? All right. 38 years later, he wakes up and he's still at the factory. He literally would spend more time picking out a pair of shoes. And, you know, it's nothing wrong with that. That's not the end of the world. But, I mean, you're spending your life on this. You're spending the essence of who you are on this, whatever this is. And so you ought to do it freaking on purpose. Hello. You ought to be intentional about it. And that's all Victoria's doing. She's very wise to have these, you know, have these questions. Because, you know, you don't want to just coast. And you do want to spend, you know, well, I heard that so-and-so is a good place to work. So what? That's one part of the equation. But what are you supposed to do that gives you joy, that gives you delight? Because I got to tell you, there's very few times you're going to be giving other people delight, your employer and your customers, when you're not delighted. When you say, I hate my job, let me just help you with that. Most people hate working with you. And that would include the customers. Because you come in looking like you were weaned on a pickle. Your little face is turned inside out, and it's awful and ugly. And your spirit sucks. Can I help you? No, I don't think you can. Hey, buddy, what you need? Nothing from you. You know? Don't be that guy, you know, and Victoria's very wise to think about that. So it's a good challenge for us all to stop and say, hey, we need to be intentional. We need to do things on purpose, especially when it comes to our work choices. And, you know, you're going to spend your life with your spouse. You spend some time dating them. You figure it out. You think about it. You choose carefully. You spend your life at your job and your career choice. Maybe you ought to spend some time thinking about it and choose carefully. That's very wise, Victoria. Very wise.
Wow. Thanks, Dave. Hey, listen, and by the way, you can learn all about Dave Ramsey at www.RamseySolutions.com. That's www.RamseySolutions.com. Many of you men out there already know that the men's ministry at McConnell Baptist Church in Hiawassee has a men's conference coming up this Friday evening and Saturday morning. And here on the phone to talk to us, tell us all about it, is Daniel Ledford. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for having me on.
Daniel, I understand that this is the first, and actually preferably the first of many men's conferences for our community. It's going to be held at McConnell. But tell me, why a men's conference and why right now?
That's a great question, Bob. I think if you just look at the state of the world right now that we're in, the state of our country, a lot of the problems that we see these days stem, from lack of fathers in the house. I think I would say probably 90% of the issues that we face as a country stem from that one issue. And so if we're going to see change in our community, in our state, in the country, it begins with the fathers. There's a statistic that says that if the mother comes to Christ first, then there's a 17% chance that the rest of the family follows. But if the father comes to know Christ first, it's a 93% chance that the rest of the family comes. But I think we have a real opportunity as the church to step in and really lead the charge in reestablishing what a family is, teaching fathers how to be fathers, how to be husbands, teaching men how to be fathers and how to be husbands. And that's something that we want to do through this men's conference and through the many to come.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I've read a lot of those statistics, as I'm sure many of our listeners have as well. And man, that, what they say is that those data points are just as true up here in the North Georgia, Western North Carolina mountains as it is in Atlanta. Those are true things. But listen, that's why you're doing what you're doing. But tell us what we can expect. What can the men in the community expect this next weekend at your conference? What are we going to hear? And who are we going to hear it from?
So Brian Branham is a pastor and author. And actually, he is one of the pastors that our children's minister served with. And he wrote a book called Pulse, and it's on the life of David. What better guy to look at as a man than David, the warrior poet, right? He was a man after God's own heart. And so in his own journey, he had men that surrounded him, his mighty men, they were called, and were transformed through just being with him. And so Brian's going to come and teach and lead a few sessions. I think there's two Friday night and then two more on Saturday. He's going to take us through his book, and hopefully we learn a little bit about how to be good men and how to be good fathers.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So what time is it going to start Friday evening?
So Friday it starts at 6. We'll serve dinner, and you get barbecue from Happy Hog.
All right.
And everybody loves barbecue, right?
Everybody loves Happy Hog. That's a good place.
That's right. And then Saturday morning it starts at 9. We're going to have breakfast, sausage biscuits, and a bunch of other fixings, and coffee. And the real thing that we want to do here is not only teach men how to be, men, but also build relationships. I think that's the other key to this whole thing, is that through this, we have men from the community who are of like mind and who want to see these changes made. And we build those relationships out throughout our community in the different churches, and we see that, because that's where the change really happens, is through those relationships. And so we're super excited about what God's doing and what He's going to do through this. And so,
well, that sounds awesome, Daniel. I have your flyer here in front of me, and I see that you're also going to have a series of free raffles. What's all that about?
So once we started making some announcements about this conference, somebody said, what better way to get some men's attention than giving away a shotgun? We've got $200 gift card to Osborne Farms. There's just multiple things that we're going to be giving away, and it's just from the generosity in the community, people stepping up and really wanting to see this happen.
Wow, Daniel, that sounds great. Thanks for all the great information. So there you have it. Guys, listen, how about joining us this Friday evening and Saturday morning for a great time of inspiration and education and entertainment as we get a chance to look into the Bible to learn a whole lot more about what it means to be a Christian husband and father in today's world. according to Daniel, what I hear, what I read, everything about this conference is going to be free, the conference, the meals, the raffles. And all you need to do to register or to get more information is to call McConnell Baptist Church in Hiawassee at 706-896-2281. That's 706-896-2281. The men's conference this Friday evening, Saturday morning. Don't miss it. Now, let's start to wrap up our time together today with one of the highlights of all of our times together. Let's spend a minute with Maxwell. As John Maxwell gives us his thoughts on being teachable, he shares his thoughts on being coachable. Let's hear from John Maxwell in a minute with Maxwell.
Hi there, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. I'd like to talk to you on the principle of being coachable. Or I may even use another term here because it's really the same, being teachable. You see, a person that is coachable or teachable, the characteristic of that is the fact that they want to learn. And the key is they want to learn. When I look at a person and I try to determine what their capacity is as a leader, how far can they go, how much can they do, I sometimes look at their ability. And that will help and tell me a lot because what they've accomplished in their past tells me at least what they can accomplish in the present, and I can build off of that. But the question is more than just what is their ability and what have they done. The question is, what is their attitude? You see, when I look at a person, I have to ask myself, can she do this and will she do this? Can is all about ability and will is all about attitude. And a person that's coachable, a person that's teachable, they not only do the will, they do the can. They do them both. They have the ability and they have the attitude. And there's nothing that takes you and helps you reach your potential more than to utilize both. I've known people that didn't have the ability, but they had a great attitude. And so you love them, but they could only go so far. I've known people that had great ability, but they didn't have the teachable spirit and attitude. And so therefore, they could have gone a long way, but they go only a short way. But when a person has both, then all of a sudden, things begin to change. I wrote a book several years ago called Talent is Never Enough. And the reason I wrote the book is because there are a lot of talented people, but they're not coachable. They're not teachable. And because of that, they put a limit on what they are able to do. What I've discovered about a teachable, coachable person is this. They're not only a joy to work with, but they will maximize and utilize every opportunity and every door for personal growth in their life. So the question of how far you can go, how far can I go, how much can we accomplish, what can we do? That question really goes back to how coachable are we? You see, I'm 70 today, and I'm still learning. Why am I still learning? Because I want to learn. I want to be taught. I want to be coached. I want you. I want somebody to walk into my life and share with me how I can be better, how I can do more, how can I go farther, how can I expand my potential. It's the extra plus in personal growth. Beyond ability, coachability will take you further than anything else. I'm glad you're with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow, what another great teaching. What I hear John saying is that if we are teachable, if we are coachable, then we are folks who want to learn and to become more productive. And this is so important in today's world because we need more people who are willing to adapt and strive to become better stewards, to become better managers of all that the Lord places into their hands. My friends, financial freedom God's way is possible right now for you and even for others through you, if you are willing to be teachable, if you are willing to be coachable, to learn, apply, and pass on what the Bible has to say about money. Oh, wow. Wow. Being teachable, being coachable, what a timely minute with Maxwell. And that wraps up our time together today, so let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for another great time together with you today. And we also ask a special blessing on your men's conference this weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.